CliffCentral.com.
Yebo, it is a Friday morning, CliffCentral.com. Bolelo, Leanne and I are looking after you this morning. We've got some interesting guests popping in a short while, and we'll get to all of them in short time. There are also a couple of things on our agenda that we want to get to before the day and the week both end. Apparently, South African men are striving to be more effective fathers than their own fathers, and there's some research that's come out to this effect. You know, we've often spoken to Charlie Peterson about this. It's something that he works hard on in communities all across South Africa. We've had Craig Wilkinson, who's also a big advocate for male role models in society and how South Africa's biggest social problem is absent fathers. And whether or not we believe that it's political, economic, or anything else, this is something that we take very seriously on this show. And I think that the country takes seriously, even if it doesn't always like to admit it, because it is a painful thing for many people to talk about in South Africa. But there's some interesting research that Leanne found that South African men are really trying a lot harder to break that cycle than at any other stage in our history, which is awesome news. And I think as much as we criticize and we worry and we try to improve, there are people actually doing hard work at the moment trying to break the cycle in their own families, which is excellent, excellent news. Where does this research come from?
So I know that it's something that you've always had close to your heart, Gareth, which I find admirable considering you don't have children of your own. But it is something that you've always raised, is the concern that maybe children aren't receiving what they need from fathers in this country.
Well, it's also the ultimate privilege. I mean, we talk about, you know, rich privilege or white privilege or cultural privilege, whatever it might be. All of those things notwithstanding, and some of them I don't necessarily believe in, but I think the biggest privilege that any person can have is to have a, you know, both parents in their lives, and for those parents to have given them love at an early age. That just, in all the research that has been conducted on families, on societies, on individuals, on success, without a doubt, the greatest privilege that any person can have, male or female, is to have two loving parents raise them.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And whether, you know, whether that makes people feel good or bad, it's just a fact. You are just going to be ahead of the rest of the pack if you have two loving parents. And therefore, I think it's worth looking at why that is the case for so many people.
Yeah, and I think what you say there is the most important thing, and that's the loving aspect of it. You know, men have traditionally been taught to provide materialistically for their children.
Yeah.
And what the part that's missing is the emotional care. So there've actually been three studies, which have been taken up just recently. And one of the research papers has now been released, and it's called The State of South Africa's Fathers. And that was released just yesterday. And this research highlights that fathers are actually wanting to be more responsible. They want to be closely involved in their children's lives. They want to be there. They want to take care of their children emotionally. They're using language like the words closeness, joy, vulnerability, which is really a big step from where we've come before. So according to the research, they're finding that they're prioritizing things like play, physical affection, recreational walks, advising, and teaching. I mean, that's a huge breakthrough, especially when you're living in a country where unemployment is so rife and poverty is a thing. To be able to prioritize those things which are way up on Maslow's hierarchy is just amazing. So the first study investigated in particular 36 Isixhosa-speaking adolescent boys and young men aged between 13 and 24 in the Eastern Cape.
All of whom are members, of Bolelo's family.
12. I may switch to Betty if it went well. Let's hear the rest of the report.
All right, yes. Leanne's frozen. That was embarrassing.
Oh, no. Yeah, because maybe her internet works on water supply.
So
it's a hydro internet line.
What happened with these Xhosa boys?
So they they were the ones who were speaking about being fathers.
Mm-hmm.
So the study reads here, these young men framed their fatherhood aspirations and their desires to be present, supportive fathers, in contrast to their own experiences as children. Most of them had deceased or uninvolved fathers. So that's what they're wanting. They're not necessarily after, you know, the money and the materialistic stuff. They want their parents to be involved, their fathers in particular.
Okay.
And, you know, this one's very close to my heart. So, like, I've got a super tough relationship with my dad now because we're very, very similar guys. You know, it's we both very, very strong. But one thing as I'm getting older that I'm super, super grateful for my father for, because something that also happened, and as I look back on my life, was that, you know, whenever you go to someone's house and you see their father or mother, you always take their best aspects and you put those demands on your own parents, which is so wrong because you haven't given that other person the idiosyncrasy of saying, oh, they're also good and bad at the same time. And it's something which I did. But, you know, for me, the whole having to love your kids thing is something that I'm still kind of wrestling with. One thing my father was extremely present in our lives. And I mean, so was my mother, but my father was extremely present. And I do see it now in the way I deal versus people who haven't had a strong male figure in their family, just how we're so different. And I'm eternally grateful. And the correct word is privilege. It is an absolute privilege to have had. And my father's very strong, but I'm absolutely ecstatic that I had him for all of what we have now and our challenges now.
By the
way, it's a game changer, I believe.
There's an interesting work of research that I'm going to have to look up because I can't remember exactly where it came from, but I heard about this very recently. And again, this is not some anecdotal thing. I can find the study for you. I will. Where they basically said it's not just a father in the, it needs to be men in the neighborhood. It needs to be like, you know, for young guys growing up, if you don't have good males in the neighborhood, like, you know, the next door neighbor is a good guy who kind of makes sure that things are not tidy and that kids are disciplined and that kind of thing. It's not necessarily, you know, intimate or, you know, a hug from your dad, to put it in the simplest terms. It's general good male role models. And that's where so many neighborhoods go off the rails because they don't have that. And, you know, try as they might, and they're heroes, but single mothers cannot fill that gap. There's just certain stuff that they can't do. So it's interesting to look at this. Anyway, we do have to move on. And I know that everybody's excited about this because I know it's a preoccupation of Leanne Moles, for starters, that anal bleaching is a big, big part of her life. Mm-hmm. And Rajesh says, I tried to bleach my asshole once, but my boss wouldn't drink the jick. So I think you may have misread this one. But here's Christina Bowman, who I go to Christina regularly for, like, she's my skin specialist. She's the person who's helped me to look less horrible. And look at me this morning. I'm not as red as you thought I would be, Christina. You see that? Yeah, thank God.
Good.
What did you do to me yesterday? Just explain it to people so they know. Because I'm kind of red in the face, but it's because you did microneedling, right?
I thought you might have just been a bit embarrassed about talking about the subject.
No, look at me. Look at me. Here we are. Look at me. I don't look too bad, right?
No, not at all. I would have expected you to be a bit redder. So we did an RF microneedling, which is an advanced technology that punctures the skin with 25 needles and then adds in RF technology to tighten the skin.
Because I needed it.
When we're over the age of 40, we need to do these things.
Right, exactly. So, Christina, apart from your business where, I mean, it's called, what is it? It's Pure Aesthetics, right? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yes.
So that's where you do the skin treatments. You have lots of clients there, and you've got, you know, interesting experiences, and you've trained all over the world, and you bring in all kinds of equipment. We can see some of it in the background there, which is unique to your practice. But you're doing something else now. What does it say on your shirt there? Anal bleach. That's fantastic.
Bleach.
Yes, that's just terrific.
Yes, on the back, my best part of this T-shirt is the back. And
show
it
us.
Says, I used to work for arseholes. Now I just bleach them.
I used to work for arseholes. Now I just bleach them. That's amazing. All right, so how big is this a big thing in South Africa yet, or are you hoping to make it a big thing?
Yes, no. It's definitely. I was pleasantly surprised. About 6 months ago, a company from Canada got hold of me called Bright, and they, because I also have a distribution component to my business, they said, would you be interested? And I thought, oh gosh, really, do I want to get into anal bleaching? Is it something that's relevant in South Africa? So we did a bit of market research, and I was actually pleasantly surprised at how popular it actually had become. I think also because I'm on the other side of 45, it's something I don't think of personally, but the younger generation, and you said earlier it's predominantly women, it's actually surprisingly not just women. It's
really?
Men that are interested in it as well.
Now, I mean, Olivia asks the question, so let's just start with that. I really want to know the reason for bleaching. Why do people want to bleach their assholes?
So there's so many reasons. There's cultural, there's religious. You know, some people, before they get married, different cultures need to be, those sort of areas need to be bright. It's a thing of, if you haven't had sex before marriage, there's a whole lot of reasons actually behind it when I started researching it, because it's not personally something I would consider. I wouldn't look at it. I don't go down and look at that area and go, geez, I need to do something about it, because no one sees it except my husband.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not a thing. But in different cultures, it's a thing. And apparently there's a culture that you have to have a lighter area before you get married. It shows that you're pure. And so it's a big thing that, it's a taboo subject. Right. And what we're trying to do is bring it out. It's not such a, it's like Botox many years ago. Everyone was doing it. They were saying they weren't just saying they were doing it. Now it's like, yes, I've done this, or I've had this procedure done, or I've gone for cosmetic surgery, or people are talking about it. Where this specifically is still that, like, do I, And what actually made it better for us in the industry is the JJ facials became popular about 2 years ago, which women are going in for to have. And so it's that whole thing, and vaginal rejuvenation at plastic surgeons and aesthetic GPs. It finishes off their product by lightening that intermittent area.
Okay, so we're talking about vaginal rejuvenation here. We're talking about anal bleaching. Obviously, people probably watch porn and they see that and they think that that's how everything should look. And
yeah.
Most people don't have most people don't have these perfect looking front and rear ends. I mean, it's there's a lot of pressure on women in particular, but obviously you say also on men.
We started with laser hair removal became popular years ago, and you've got the Brazilian, you've got the Hollywood, you've got all these different hair removal. So some women want everything off, some don't want, they want to have a strip, or they want to have, they still want to have their pubic hair. So what ended up happening, I always say, it's fine while you're young and everything is still looking great, but eventually you're going to end up looking like a turkey, so you don't want to take it all away, because there's bits and pieces that you don't want to have visible. So have a little bit of hair. So you've just got to be, it's a preference for people on what they want. But having it looking bright, and also men, you remember men, like they always say, my wife or my partner must be a lady in public, and she must be a stripper in bed. So there's all that comes to play with this.
Bulelo, people are commenting that you look horrified. Is that true? Tony says you're horrified.
I didn't.
Vaginal rejuvenation.
Rejuvenation.
Okay.
So women go in and have everything tightened. They have certain bits removed. So there's all that. That's become very popular over the last 5 years.
But I'm shook at the amount that's involved in and around the anus, because I didn't realize that there was all sorts of so is there going to be white prints now for the anus? Oh, let me hear what I heard about Janine. What happened? Oh, she's got a darker anus. I didn't realize that this was a thing.
You didn't know that this is how people talk.
That's the thing.
they're comparing the they compare like the, you know those what do they call them, swatches that they use to tell you what paint you're going to paint your walls at home
or the color of your teeth.
Do people pull those out at like Tasha's in Morningside and they're like, you know, I was looking at Justine the other day and it looks like she's got a very dark anus, so I'm hoping to send her for this for her birthday next year. It's going to be great.
No, it is. It's quite something. But that's the whole thing, and it's creating an awareness. Because trust me, it's happening, and it's happening in more places than you think.
Okay, so what happens? You go in.
Yeah, what's the actual procedure?
Yeah,
is it painful?
So the procedure is a very simple procedure, and there's different brands on the market that focus to the specific body brightening and lightening. So our one specifically is a 4-step procedure that you go in. You're obviously going to lie in a position that we've got access to that area.
What is that position? Explain. We want all the detail here. Like, what are you lying on your? Are you lying
Let's
on your?
Let's just say you're going to be in like a. You're going to be. Your ass is going to be. It was a downward dog.
Oh, okay. Okay, yoga downward dog. All right, got you.
So, and then you're going to apply the product. We use a certain little machine that works on the area to allow that product to be infused in the skin a lot deeper. And then there's a home care. It's a very simple, quick procedure that they do. And they need 3 to 4 treatments. And then there's obviously home care that they can do. But remember, ankle bleaching is also for, it's underarms, any area that is exposed to.
Two quick questions. This is really important. Yeah. First of all, is this something that people with darker skins also want to do? And second of all,
100%, they are actually affected more. So with your scaling of coloring, you've got Fitzpatrick 1 to 6. So 1 is your Irishy skin with red hair, and your 6 is your Nigerian, that very dark. The darker the Fitzpatrick, the more susceptible you are to hyperpigmentation. So your Fitzpatrick's 4s, 5s, 6s, they're going to be more prone to it than your 1s, 2s, and 3s.
Okay.
And so, yes, it is more for the darker. It does, but not to say lighter skins also can have that issue.
There's so many questions. Go, Leanne.
I need to clear this up in my head. So I've got a white bum area, but maybe I have a chocolate starfish.
Yes.
So the idea then for me is to try and get that chocolate starfish to the same color as my white bum, right?
Yes.
And if I'm a black person from Nigeria, am I going to have a white arsehole and a chocolate bum?
You see, what will happen in their case, any skin that's not predominantly, like not exposed to the sun a lot, so you'll find that their skin on the face and the arms might be darker. However, the darkness of this skin that's exposed to sun can get as dark around the anal area, although the bottom part will be lighter because it hasn't been exposed to sun. But that area can react like it's been exposed to. It's like when women get pregnant, their nipple areas get darker, their vagina gets darker, their butthole gets darker, because it's also related to hormones. So as we go through changes in life, it's all affected with regards to pigmentation.
Have you ever? A lot of people would be worried that this hurts, that it burns Uranus.
No. There's no pain at all involved because it's sensitive. There's no pain involved at all.
A lot of people, Vyasin saying, Leanne, well done, answered my question. She's asking the real questions that everyone needs to know, according to Olivia.
Yeah.
So Leanne always has the best questions. All right, so Christina.
I just want to know what to expect one day when I'm being intimate with someone, you know.
Yeah. does medical aid cover this, just out of interest? Are we there yet or
this
not yet?
This is purely cosmetic, yeah.
No, not yet.
No medical aid.
We'll get there.
And interesting, you say it's not just for the anus, but it could be for any pigmentation anywhere on the skin. And you said under the arms, for example, if people have.
Yeah, you know, I know myself in winter when my underarm deodorant gets too cold, and I'm a Fitzpatrick 3, but you gauge it also, like Gareth, you're very fair, so you're a Fitzpatrick 2. You got blue eyes, blonde hair. So right. I've got naturally, I'm not a blonde, I'm a brunette, and I have very dark eyes. So I can react like a Fitzpatrick, four Fitzpatrick fives. If I go in the sun, I go very dark. So when I injure myself, so let's say I get a bruise or a scratch, that pigmentation that you get after an injury is what we call post-inflammatory pigmentation. Mm-hmm. So I will react like a darker skin type, although I am lighter because of the melanin that's sitting in my skin.
Right.
So in winter, if I spray deodorant and it's too cold, for an example, it burns my underarms, and then I'm sitting with these pigmented marks that sit under my arms. And it's quite common in a lot of people that will find that they've got a darker armpit. So all these type of products will help lighten those and brighten those sort of areas as well. It's not just, for the anus.
Carl says, this is some feedback for you, Mbulelo. Mbulelo's asshole must be black because he thinks the sun shines out of it. and then this is good. Please do a quick poll, says Color. Do a quick poll on how many people who are watching this on YouTube have just checked the color of their anuses, because I just tried.
Wow. But that's so funny because that's the normal thing. You go, I've certainly also gone and gone, I need something.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things when there's an awareness, you kind of go, okay, well, let me look and see. Because if you don't think about it, you're not going to really know. But women specifically, when you have children, there's a change in color. So, and the thing is, we want to get back to looking nice, if for your husband or how, whatever it might be. We all strive for some form of perfection, and aging is a real thing, and we're all going to age, and we want to look better, older nowadays, because we're also working longer. We're not retiring at 50. And if you're going in to get a job and you look a lot older, I've seen people in the industry, specifically in my sector, that they come in, but they've got the energy of an 80-year-old or a 60-year-old, but they're only in their 50s, and they look a lot older. So, nowadays it's important to put the effort in. You are worth it.
Plus with the divorce rates, Christina, more people need to be yummy mummies, obviously, for the second marriage.
Especially South Africa, our divorce rate is the highest in the world, because you can get a quickie divorce in, I think it's 4 weeks or 6 weeks. In most countries, you've got to be legally separated for 12 months, and then you can only apply for it.
There's only so many options in Danfern, they get taken up pretty quickly.
Christina, is this a very expensive procedure?
No, it's not. It's not, in the whole scheme of things, it's not expensive at all. You're looking at about R1,000 a treatment. And your home care is inexpensive, and it's really not in the whole scheme of things.
All right, if we can go back to the reason that I know you and that I regularly go to you, let's just talk about our skins for a moment, because summer's coming up. Well, summer's here already, and people are going out into the sun. And just again, like some general advisory from you as somebody who sees people who've not looked after their skin and other people who have. What can you do to make sure that you don't age prematurely, that you don't get terrible pigmentation, that you don't damage your skin and end up with even worse things like skin cancer at a certain stage? How can we look after ourselves better? Some general advice from you.
Well, the first and foremost and most important thing is to use a very good SPF. Make sure your SPF has got titanium or zinc oxide in it. You want a broad spectrum type of SPF, because your aging process from the sun and the environment that we are subjected to and the toxins in the air, that's what ages us even fast. So for me, the first thing, if you can't afford anything, go and buy yourself a good SPF, and then already you're 90% of the way to the no cancers, the aging process, all of that. That's a good thing for, I always say. And invest in your home care. People think that I must have treatments is better than home care. I've always been a big believer that put good product on your skin every single day versus going to have a treatment every so often.
Yeah.
Because that's a constant. Anything in life, when there's consistency, it pays off. So just be consistent. As you get older, start mild things from in your 20s, and then in your 30s, go a little bit more advanced, and then in your 50s. And if you do small things along the way, you don't have to wake up and have the, what I call the what the fuck moment.
No.
Because that's the, I wake up and I go, what the hell's happened? Because I think I've been doing right, the right thing.
And of course, this goes for white people, black people, old, young, everybody.
Everybody. So it's the same process. Although African skin generally have more collagen, and theirs, ours happens at about 35, they're lucky they get off at about 40.
Okay.
But the same process is going to happen. So small, regular things versus leaving it and then waking up later and going, oh my God. Because then it becomes more drastic. Then you've got to do more advanced treatments, more downtime and those type of things. So slow and steady wins the race, and consistency.
Beautiful.
And sunscreen. You know that song by Baz Luhrmann? I say it all the time. How many years is that, Gareth? It's 20 something years he did that song. The first thing he said is, don't look at beauty magazines because they'll only make you feel ugly and fat, and that's so true. And the other thing is sunscreen, and the same applies today. Sunscreen is your, especially now that we're going into the Christmas season and the holiday season.
So there's an interesting idea for a Christmas present is, you know, buy your partner some anal bleaching. I mean, that could be a really nice stocking stuffer.
It brings a whole new meaning to the star at the top of the tree.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Christina. Good to see you.
Yes, you too. Thanks, Gareth. Very good. A lovely Friday, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Christina Bowman, you can find her on the internet at Pure Aesthetics. That's her business in Johannesburg. And just to be clear, I haven't been for anal bleaching. I go for skin treatments, just so you know. If I did have an anal bleaching, you know I would be the first one to tell you on the show. It would be hilarious.
I think thou dost protest too much here, Gareth.
No, because I saw someone saying in the comments here.
We believed you the first 3 times.
I mean, here's an interesting question. I mean, we didn't get all the time in the world to keep on flogging this dead horse with Christina, but Vyasin says, will my asshole be white forever? Or must you maintain it?
I think you have to maintain it. Hence, so
great. That's so great.
But, I mean, Michael raises a thing here where he says women are being programmed to appear pre-pubic.
Yeah.
I'm definitely along those lines, and no disrespect to anybody who wants to bleach their assholes or who is offering the service. But also earlier Olivia said something that caught my attention. I think we maybe need to embrace our naturalness just a bit. Don't let yourself go, but don't feel you have to bleach things. I'm with that as well. I'm just glad that this isn't like a cultural thing.
Well,
that, I mean, I know she mentioned that it's cultural, but that it's not, black people trying to bleach their skin. Somebody else asked, can this be applied to all over the body? And I have a huge problem with the bleaching practices that are used for skin lightening.
You've never been a Michael Jackson fan.
Oh, no.
but
no.
You know, there's certain things, sure. I don't think anyone should be carried away and start doing things that either are damaging to them. And the skin is your biggest organ, right? You don't want to damage that. I think the whole point, and Christina made the point when I asked her what you've got to do for summer, and look after what you've got so that you don't have that moment where you look in the mirror and go, oh, my God, look at me. I look horrendous. But people go for teeth whitening. People do, pigmentation, erasure or concealing. They do hair removal. They do all kinds of things to make themselves feel, not necessarily always look, but feel better. And you should never, this is a good standard to apply to all of this. You should never do this because someone else tells you to or because your partner's pressuring you into it. It's like getting a boob job. You should never do that because someone tells you you need to have a boob job.
Mm.
You should do it if you want to make yourself feel better. And frankly, that is all that matters. If you're going to spend your hard-earned money on any of this cosmetic stuff, then let it be stuff that you really want to do. And if you don't need to do it, that you're the only one who can make that call.
Yeah.
But I know I said it in jest just now, and Leanna, you've just touched on something about sort of your natural shining through, and I think that's probably a conversation to be had. But I was having a conversation with somebody who we lived in the same place, and she's going through some stuff in her marriage, so she's about 10 years older than me. But she's saying now, because of divorce rates, and I was saying it in jest, but I was being serious, was that she says these young girls, and I'm not being, like, this is what she said, they're so aggressive now in that whole world of getting to their husbands, and now she's getting divorced. Like, in order to get in the mix, it's so hard not to take it this far, you know? And I know it's superficial, but it's the world we're living in. Like, it's here now. We're not going to be able to close Pandora's box, whether you agree or not.
It's just annoying. Like, what are their husbands doing for them, you know? I don't know.
Maybe they're paying for the anal bleaching. All right.
It's still not a fair trade.
Potpourri Jick for the best effect, says Henri Poitier. Potpourri Jick. Oh, my God. Yeah. Please don't do this at home, kids. And I can't believe it. Olivia says, it's all about balance. It must come from a good place and not from an insecure place. That is such smart advice from Olivia. Really, really clever.
I like what Jay says above that.
Jay says, talk about changing your ringtone. That's beautiful. All right. Well, it is Friday, and we've got lots of other stuff to get to, and we've only got a couple of minutes left of the show, but I do want to tell you about the podcast of the week. So from the ridiculous to the sublime. This week we recommend that you take a listen to Beyond Madness, which is a brand new and one-of-a-kind podcast. We've looked at it, and there is no other podcast in the world that is doing this. It's basically a psychiatric podcast. Now, there are lots of people who are doing what we do with Dr. Hanan, although I think he's better than everyone else, on a Monday. That's, you know, psychology and kind of figuring out the ways to get our own mental health right and helping us deal with difficult situations. And also some conflict resolution and so on. But this is different because these are doctors talking about this stuff without dumbing it down for the rest of us. So really, it's like higher grade psychiatry. You know, the psychiatrists are the ones who also talk about the medication. So it is hosted by Professor Christopher Szabo, who is amazing. He and his guests discuss the impact of the current COVID-19 pandemic on our mental health and our mental health resources. He's such a smart man, this guy. I mean, you've met him around the office, right, in Mbulelo. You've seen him once or twice. Such an interesting guy.
He's a firecracker.
We're asking questions in this podcast like, has mental illness increased, or are we simply seeing understandable levels of distress to an abnormal situation? Good question, that. Our show is called Beyond Madness, and it's a controversial name on purpose because we're not hiding the ball on this one. We are going straight for goal. And it is an incredible podcast. There are a couple of episodes already up and running. You can go and listen to them. And they are incredibly interesting. You will get deep into the reeds with these guys. And, you know, Prof. Szabo talks to professionals from all over the world, people who you would normally only read about in journals, psychiatric journals and so on. These are some of the smartest people in the field anywhere on earth. And they are absolutely expert. So if you feel like taking a listen to that, Professor Christopher Szabo and his guests on Beyond Madness, get the podcast on cliffcentral.com. You can find it on Google or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. But we like on a Friday to just recommend some weekend listening. If that's something you haven't done yet, go and subscribe to it on whatever you use. I use Apple Podcasts. I'm going to go make sure I'm subscribed now, and you can do the same. All right. Olivia says she's super into this new podcast. Thanks so much for doing these sort of things. Cliff Central always on the forefront. Well, I mean, we're just glad to bring you the best in the business. You know, that's just really, really cool. Okay. George Meany will join us in a short while, and we're going to talk to him about all the things that we can in the world of motoring in the Auto Central pod, which is coming up in a short while. Apparently, Bulelo's also got an exciting show today on Cliff Central Sport, the MKT show. Today it's a little earlier than usual because of load shedding. It's not because they're disorganized. Just remind us.
Yeah, 11:50 will be when we start. Obviously, South Africa play England in the rugby to finish off the rugby season. Mm-hmm. So we'll have Flip van der Merwe, former Springbok. He'll join us from around that 1 o'clock mark for that last sort of 50 minutes. So, yeah, we'll be focusing hugely on the box and their year and how it went. And, yeah, and we've actually got something really cool with another Springbok of a different element coming up soon. So, as Cliff Central on this front is doing that, we're also doing it on the sports side. So on definitely. All fronts, we got you covered.
Definitely. Bulelo will also be away a little bit later on this year. In December, he's heading over to the US, which is very exciting. We're taking Cliff Central Sport international, which is a big deal. And we're going to reveal more as we get closer to the time. But that'll be exciting stuff too. So things are really happening in that world. All right, Leanne Moll, what are your plans for the weekend? You got anything fun coming up?
I'm gonna wash my bits.
Yeah. And if you don't get them clean enough, now we know how to get them a little bit whiter than white. You know.
Yeah, I could maybe just have the illusion of clean bits, but I think to start, I'm going to have a really long shower. Probably in about 45 minutes. I just need to get some more water for everyone on the property.
Okay. But are you going to be able to use your shower? Have you got water at the moment?
No.
Oh, you're going to have to go somewhere else.
I'll be traveling.
Oh, my God.
With my little wash bag.
Oh, my God. How embarrassing.
But I know. I'm so tired of it. But also what's irritating now is that the water supply is on. It's just that the reservoirs haven't filled up yet. As they fill up by a little bit, the lower-lying residents use up that water.
So you never get
any.
And
I'm on a hill,
no.
So we never get any. So people are saying, when's the water coming back on? It is on, people, but now it's not like electricity.
Stop being greedy if you live in the lowlands. You deserve the flooding that you get if you live in the lowlands. Let the people at the top of the hill get their fucking water as well, you greedy pigs.
Yeah, because, of course, now they're all turning on their dishwashers and washing machines and going crazy.
Meanwhile, you're sitting there with stinky armpits.
Stinky armpits and dry taps.
Oh, my God.
But yeah.
If I was the people in the lowlands, Leanne, I just want to tell you what kind of human being and what lives inside of me is. I've definitely set up the slide outdoor pool with the sprinkler at the end.
You're such an asshole. Beth,
you turn on all your irrigation.
Yeah.
That's it.
Beth says, yeah, Leanne, I'm going to have to go to my sister at the end of the show to shower. Oh, Beth, I feel for you, really, and for Leanne.
Got you, Beth. I'm going to my brother's.
Michael says he wishes you a long, lovely, hot shower. Well, eventually. One day we'll get to that. Yeah. All right. Here's George Meany, everybody. It's Friday, which is excellent news. And here is George. What's that? You got like a trident on your cap there. What's going on there?
Morning, guys. No, that is the Maserati logo.
Oh, right. Yeah. I should have known. Sorry. See how uncool I am. Are you driving a Maserati at the moment? Is that what's going on?
I was, Gareth. So Maserati kindly gave me the Maserati 2-litre hybrid for the weekend last weekend.
Oh, your life is so hard, George. I really feel so sorry for you when I hear stories like this.
So I was pretty impressed with this car. I mean, it's not an I don't think it's a hybrid made for cleaner, greener energy. It doesn't seem to be a hybrid made for cleaner, greener energy. I think they're trying to reduce the carbon footprint of the car, but the hybrid is really there to supplement the low down torque of the car. And you know, Maserati is the baby of Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the bottom of the range Ferrari, if you want to call it.
Well, they're the same family. I mean, don't talk it down like that, for heaven's sake.
No, exactly.
All right, so George, you've been driving this car around. Does it get a lot of attention? I mean, there's certain cars that when you drive them into petrol stations in South Africa, everybody there starts whistling and shouting and trying to help you, and you know, they'll do anything for you. If you drive in an old VW Beetle that's like farting smoke. People just don't pay attention to you until much, much later after all the other cars have gone.
Exactly. This particular car does exactly that. It totally gets attention. And this badge is a very sexy badge, and the car's got very sexy lines. Hmm. You know, that the Maserati 2-liter hybrid, it's got these little blue accents on it that indicate that it's a hybrid. Nowhere else on the car does it say hybrid. It's just got those blue accents that tell you that it's a hybrid. And it's got an interesting thing that I've never seen before, an electric turbo. So it's got a normal turbo in the engine, and it's got an electric turbo. So the electric turbo, I don't know if you've ever seen these Golf GTI drivers that they get going from a traffic light, and then suddenly the car begins to speed up because the turbo kicks in. Or if you've driven a turbocharged car, that's called turbo lag. Now, this car has an electric turbo to try and not get you that pushback in your seat at 3,000 RPM, for instance.
Sure.
And then the electric part of the car also supplements the low-down torque. Because, you know, as you've driven, the electric cars have very, very low-down torque. So you put your foot down and the car really just moves. But it's not as fast as my Jaguar I-Pace. I don't think Maserati designs cars for speed. They design cars for luxury. I mean, the stitching inside this car.
Oh, yeah.
It's just unbelievable. So yes, you get a lot of attention at filling stations because, you know, I got the car full of fuel. I had to give it back full of fuel, which I'm not used to paying for.
Mm. Well, you know, George, again, I'm hardly going to feel sorry for you with your Maseratis and your electric vehicles. And if you're looking for sympathy, this is not the right place. Sorry.
I'm not looking for sympathy, Gareth, at all. I've never driven a Maserati before, so I'm very thankful that they gave me the car.
Yeah, all right. Keep rubbing it in.
So in the car, right, I kept it for longer.
So apparently, according to Steph, the Maserati SUV saved the company from going bust. Awesome car. I didn't even know they made an SUV. That's interesting. It shows you how out of touch I am. And then a lot of people talking about how George is like, what is petrol? Olivia says. And Olivia, funnily enough, her surname is Joules, which are, you know, units of energy, which is hilarious. Yeah. All right. Very good. What do you got for us in the news?
So, Gareth, we've spoken about vanity number plates before.
Yes.
You know, I don't know why people have vanity number plates, to be honest. It just kind of makes you stand out more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So probably one of the most expensive or will be the most valuable number plate in the world is being sold for $24.5 million.
Oh, God.
It's the letters MM.
You'd have to be such a moron to pay that kind of money for just a license plate. What an idiot you would have to be.
Please tell me it's Trump buying it. Please tell me it's Trump buying it, George.
No, I doubt it. I mean, it doesn't say Trump. So previously, vanity plates with the number one.
Yeah.
So vanity plates with the number one on it in the U.S. sold for $14.8 million in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. Number plates with the number 11 in the U.S. sold for $675,000. So whether this number plate's going to fetch $24.5 million or not is another story. I don't understand vanity number plates.
I wonder what the most expensive number plate in South Africa is and who the idiot is who's driving that car with that vanity plate on. You know, first of all, if you have a really nice car, then it doesn't matter what the number plate is. People are going to notice the car, not the number plate. But if you are an asshole in a Subaru and you have a fancy personalized plate on, everybody's going to remember, oh, there's that asshole with the personal plates, because they'll remember your personal plate. And I don't know if you want to be remembered for that. I think there are lots of things in this world that are worth being remembered for. A personalized plate seems at the bottom of the bottom of the ladder of things.
I think it's below the bottom of the ladder.
Yeah, I mean, William says this is a good point. SARS checked personal number plate owners first. Right.
It's easy to remember, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you drive like a jackass, everyone's going to remember.
Yes, and if you cause trouble on the road, people are going to remember the number plate because you made it easier for them. And then when they report the car, or they report it to the police if there's something that happens, they're going to remember it. Whereas if you are GBN439GP, nobody really knows to remember that. You know, it's complicated.
That's harder to remember. Yeah, exactly.
Dummies.
Talking about fuel, Honda South Africa has decided that customers who buy three particular models in their range between the 15th and the 30th of November will get 1 year's worth of free fuel.
Yeah.
So if you calculate that at they do the average of 15,000 kilometers a year at 19.54 per liter.
Right.
You stand to get quite a substantial lump sum up front, because they'll pay you this lump sum up front when you buy the car.
Okay. Well, that's a good deal. These days, are the price of fuel going up all over the world the way that it is, you probably end up paying more for fuel over time than you will for the actual cost of the car. So that's a real bonus.
That is so bloody true. Over the lifetime of the car, I wonder what the fuel cost is. We should do the maths.
We should do the maths.
The fuel cost
is, I filled out.
I'll try and find out.
Yeah.
One, the most expensive number plate that you asked, even if it's possible to find that. I don't even know if number plates trade in South Africa. And then secondly, what is the cost of fuel in the lifetime of a car versus the cost of a car?
Well, Robert says KZN has a much higher rate of personalized plates. We count them when I'm in Durban. Why is it such a thing there? I don't know, but that's an interesting point of view. Someone else says that the guys in Somerset West, this is Brian, he says, fight over plates with three numbers only. Some plates up to 20,000 Rand for those kinds of numbers, 335 or 275 or 113. It's not even special, but they pay for it apparently. That's in Somerset West. How terrible. VUT Zarko says 40 grand is probably the most expensive plate in South Africa. I don't know where that comes from, but there we are.
We'll try to find out. I think the reason there's so many personalized number plates in KZN is because you need to be able to distinguish the GTIs from each other.
Oh. Good point. I filled up my car yesterday, and it cost me well over 1,000 Rand to fill the tank, and that was diesel, hey? So, I mean, it's not my car. It's Phil from De Witt Motors' car, but you know, I still have to fill it up. And I suddenly looked at the price of the fuel. And even for someone who's, you know, you hand over your car, you don't even think about these things. I was like, yes, is that how much it's going to cost me? It's crazy.
Yeah. And then I mean, who knows where this is going? Because as demand dives with electric vehicles, you know, when demand goes down, you know what happens to price.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no supply, price goes up.
Yeah.
So chances are this is not going to necessarily come down. You know, unless our currency turns around dramatically. But we're not talking here to talk about currency, I guess.
No. All right. What else have we got? No.
There's this concept called thermal runaway.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably familiar with what thermal runaway is, Gareth. And thermal runaway is a very real thing in an electric vehicle because of the lithium-ion batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So when a fire happens to an EV, the car goes up in flames and it doesn't stop. It just carries on. And firefighters find it very, very difficult to put EV fires out because of this thermal runaway problem. This Austrian crowd has developed a fire extinguisher that can be wheeled underneath the car, because you know the battery's under the EV, that can be wheeled underneath the car puts the fire out really quickly. And it's, And I suppose the point for me was, it's interesting that, new technology, greener energy, all those things comes with different problems and then causes opportunity in the world because now that problem has to be solved.
Yeah, here it is. Sure. That's what it looks like. We've got a picture of it up on YouTube right now if you want to take a look. It slides it under the car. Obviously, these fires are a big problem in electric cars, which weren't as much of a problem in an internal combustion engine setup. And we also know how to deal with the internal combustion engine fires. We know what to do. People have been putting them out for years. And if you watch Formula One, you often see them putting out these fires.
Exactly, because they've got batteries and all that stuff. And then have you when I'm driving on the road, I can't understand sometimes why I don't do this for the love of anything. Yeah. Is pull in front of a truck in slowing down traffic. Why would you pull in front of a truck in traffic that is slowing down? It's such a dumb thing. Because this is what happens.
Yeah.
You can get run over by that truck because its brakes don't work as well as your car's brakes. And a woman, obviously in the US again, survived this crash that I just sent you the link to, Gareth. And a 46-year-old woman got run over by a truck because the truck couldn't slow down enough.
Jesus.
Fast enough in slowing traffic. She survived the accident, so that's a positive story.
I'll tell you what, if you see the picture of the wreckage, it's just unbelievable that anyone survived that. I'll see if I can put that up quickly for you to have a look. But this is a frightening, frightening picture of what could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how this person made it.
We're going into the holiday season now. Just don't pull yourself, especially down Van Rienen's Pass. If there's traffic, don't pull in front of a truck.
Look at that.
You might not survive that.
Good Lord. That's a hell of an accident. I'm surprised anyone could be just pieces of meat if you came out of that car.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
She
horrible.
Survived.
She survived.
She survived.
Well, you know what? If she can survive, there really is a God. That's incredible. All right. Very good.
And then finally, Gareth, so, you know, there's this argument that says, well, what's the point of having an electric vehicle when you've got a coal-burning power station?
Mm.
There's been some studies around how clean the energy is coming out of power stations around the world. Before I tell you the list of countries and their efficiency from burning coal or using hydroelectric or using nuclear, mm-hmm. It's probably important to say that electric vehicles put probably about 80% of their power, more than 60-70%, depending on the electric vehicle, obviously, directly onto the tar.
Mm-hmm.
So they are 80% efficient. And here's another quiz. Guess how much power an ICE vehicle, internal combustion engine vehicle, puts onto the tar. Out of all of the energy it creates in the internal workings of the engine. Take a guess at what that percentage is.
Don't know.
It is about 20%. 20% of the power that the engine generates.
So what happens? That other 80%, is it dissipated in heat? Is it lost to kinetic energy, friction? I mean, that's incredible. Only 20%? That's not very efficient.
Exactly. So it obviously depends on which ICE vehicle you're talking about. It can range anywhere from below 20% to above 20%. But it's almost the reverse, and it's exactly what you're saying. It goes down to kinetic energy, heat, mostly heat dissipation. You've got oils, you've got and another reason is because, remember, pistons are moving in one direction, and then
there's no need to
the
get
car
rude. There's no need
changed.
For you to be rude about this, George. I mean, you had to bring pistons into it.
I mean, all these hand gestures.
I mean, really,
you know?
Unbelievable.
And a lady on with anal bleaching as well. It doesn't.
I was listening to that. So the car has to change the direction of the energy that it produces through the gearbox and then the prop shaft, etc. It's not important, and then onto the wheels. Whereas EVs don't have that problem. So this whole argument around, oh, we burn coal, what's the point of an EV, is totally flawed based on the efficiency. Now, you've got the argument of the lithium-ion battery, I guess.
Yeah.
But we're not so bad because the relative carbon savings in different countries, the best performing are nuclear and hydroelectric, which is Switzerland, at 100% carbon saving compared to ICE vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, we're not going to hear the end of it from
Really. You know, those people.
They just don't stop. You shouldn't have told us.
I know.
And then it goes on from there. Norway at 98%, France at 96%, Sweden at 95%, Austria at 93%. So, countries where charging an electric vehicle is more than 85% cleaner than driving an ICE-powered car tend to be those consistent low-carbon energy supply sources. So, clean energy at the beginning plus the EV exponentially saves the carbon footprint.
George, I hope you're not turning into one of these COP26 climate change activists, because those people just spend a huge amount of time pumping hot air into the environment from their own mouths. And I don't know that they do anything else for the entire universe except that. And most of them are such self-serving, loathsome toadies that you'd rather be stuck in a room with a bottle of anal bleach than with Greta Thunberg and the rest of her people. So I want to end on a high note and say that
I agree.
We love the internal combustion engine, and we love the electric vehicle, and we are not going to be pressured by the environmental lobby to choose. We want both. And on this show, we will promote both, and we will talk about both. So thank you very much, George Meany, the Auto Trader Pod, and available every week is also the Auto Trader Show here on Cliff Central. You can get that every Monday. Make sure you don't miss a damn thing. And have an excellent weekend, everybody. Have lots of fun. We will see you on Monday. Be good. And Leanne, I hope you get some water.
Thank you. I'm going out for buckets now.
CliffCentral.com